What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's August 27th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing over there, Mark?
What's up, Trey? We got a fun show. We talk about the astronauts who've been stuck in space since June and aren't coming home until February. And it is a political story. It's not an electoral sense because now their party really cares about fixing the stuff that caused this. But it's about privatization, neoliberal economics, yeah. And decades of fucking
capitalism.
Extracting money from what used to be public goods, so a few psychos can be richer and more powerful. So we're going to talk about and how it led to two people being stuck at people approaching retirement age being stuck in space.
I'm glad we're talking about it because it's wild to me that that's not a bigger story. Because it's, you know, like for example, The Martian, which I love that book and the movie hits too. But like, you know. The idea that like marooned astronauts, the whole world would be glued to their TV every day. Like we got to get these people home. And I feel like 70%+ of people don't even know that there are marooned astronauts out there right now.
No, waiting for Elon to give him a ride home when he can figure out by February. We were allowed to, man. It's not just The Martian. Apollo 13 is about like, shit, the fucking, what's the one where Ben Affleck and they dig the hole on the asteroid?
Like Armageddon?
Armageddon, yeah. Sorry.
How could you forget the cinematic masterpiece it is, Armageddon, Mark?
Jesus, I just forgot Christ. The title of it, Trey. So, like, we thought we were led to believe that the entirety of Earth society would mobilize to solve space problems. We're supposed to be, like, looking at, like, TV news coverage through the windows of storefronts where we all hug each
exactly.
other and cry.
Right.
And it's just like, well, American flag, wait, nobody gives a fuck. It's just,
makes you think that Adam McKay was really onto something with Don't Look Up, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, which is absolutely. The opposite of that, which is him saying, like, nobody would give a fuck. And, you know, it's like, yeah, maybe that's more accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, so before we get to the show, someone to bring about, there's another abortion case that could make things drastically worse in America, as if you didn't think they could get that way. So basically, Oklahoma's filed a lawsuit against the Department of Health and Human Services. It seems like it's low stakes, but it's not, and I'll try to make this as unboring as possible, but this is really going to make you understand why conservatives put so much focus on judges and law stuff, because it's easy to zone out after like 15 seconds of trying to understand why it matters, okay?
Right.
So basically, the Biden administration requires recipients of Title X grants. These are federal programs that fund family planning services to present patients with neutral, factual information about all their family planning options, which include abortion. You can comply with this requirement just by giving patients a phone number they can call that tells them their options. You basically handle a business card or brochure.
So if you receive federal funding, you are required to at least make patients aware that abortion is an option medically, right? People have to be aware that this is something that's on the table, like safely.
You're required to give them a phone number they can call that will let them know that abortion exists.
Right. So pretty low level messaging.
Right. But Oklahoma has decided in all their wisdom that don't hit for them. So they took $4.5 million in grants in 2023 and decided not to comply with it and no longer give people the phone number. So then the Biden administration terminated their grant for $4.5 million. So now Oklahoma wants the Supreme Court to allow it to receive Title X funds without complying with the call-in number rule. And it's landed on the court's shadow docket, which means they'll be able to rule on it without even writing an opinion. All right. So the context here is like the federal government's been flip-flopping on this rule going back and forth since Reagan, depending on whether a Republican or Democrat was in office. So they flip-flop between requiring it or forbidding it. Either you have to give people a phone number or you cannot give people a phone number. All right. But the downstream effects of this would be that the federal government, if they rule in Oklahoma's favor across the board for all kinds of federal programs, the federal government would be required to give them money without any sort of preconditions.
Right.
No matter who controls the federal government. Right. Right.
So like some crazy ass states, like for example, Tennessee, let's just say, would be able to take a shitload of federal funding for these purposes and use it for like abstinence only education or some kind of, right. Like they can just use it for whatever they want to that they deem is under this umbrella.
They could take federal, family planning funds and use it to build a giant meat grinder to shove homeless people into.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
There'd be no rule. All right. So like, it's like just at a minimum blow up how Medicaid and Medicare operate. But basically they want to make it so it doesn't matter who's president or who controls Congress. because nothing they do will impact anything going on in red states. It's sort of like a reminder that Project 2025 is going on with or without Donald Trump, mm-hmm. as the face of it, all around us all the time. And yes, Trump losing is necessary, but not sufficient to beat these assholes back and to have a democracy. Because if the people elect a Congress based upon a platform that then is enacted through legislation and sets rules for how tax dollars are spent, some dipshit governor should not be able to overthrow the will of the federal government, which is what the fucking Civil War was about and is still going on, apparently.
State rights, baby. What are you going to do? Yep. Also, the idea that like the government should have some say in how other entities use the money that they give them is kind of related to what we're going to be talking about later, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The amount of control that the government should have when it comes to the money that goes towards programs like this.
If the government of Oklahoma wants to have control over federal policy, he can fucking run for president.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my boy Andrew Jackson was fighting this fight way back in 1820. Andrew Jackson don't hit for me, but there was the nullification crisis was the first mm-hmm. time that I'm aware of where this thing came up, where the state started being like, we ain't got to listen to you. And Andrew Jackson shut that shit down. And that kind of sort of later led directly to the Civil War, but he still was in the right as far as that goes. He fucked up a lot of things too. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into it. Producer Matt is with us. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all of a few things. Of course, if you want to see me perform stand-up comedy live and in person, and of course you should want to do that, please go to treycrowder.com and check out my tickets for my upcoming shows. I'll be in San Antonio next weekend, then I got a big Michigan run, then Ohio after that, Bristol and Atlanta. A lot of fun stuff coming up. Go to treycrowder.com. Also, a peek behind the curtain. I'm going to be working on a whole bunch of new material in the next few months, so that should be exciting, I hope, for all of us, and should hit. But also, if you've seen me recently, relatively recently, it should be a lot of very different stuff than what you've seen before. Also, on treycrowder.com, Round Here and Over Yonder, me and Corey's book. You can find a link to that. It's on sale at Barnes & Noble right now. It's a comedic travel guide through these United States and also England and Scotland. If you like audiobooks, we read that as well. And if you enjoy this program and want to get to more, want to show your support for it, go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go on Patreon and search for my name. You sign up on there, $5 a month, get you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. We do skew and A's. We cover things that happen in between the main show, just whatever we happen to want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. If you like this show, you'll like that show because it's just this show, but more of it. Get some more skews in your life. Support the show in the process. Weeklyskews.com/more. All right. As for the show tonight, as Mark said, we're going to be talking about the marooned astronauts that nobody seems to give a fuck about, but also along the way, all the things that they're happen to be missing out on here on this whirling sender that we call Earth. Let's go ahead and get into it. We begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, RFK Jr. for forgetting what the cover story of all this was. This was his VP candidate, Nicole Shanahan.
The hesitation we have right now in joining forces with Trump is that he has not apologized or publicly come out and said Operation Warp Speed was my fault. It was a failure and I let it happen. I'll mm-hmm. never let it happen again.
The vaccinations, right.
I mean, all of it.
Right.
So, Trump's entire campaign is the premise of it is like, I've never been president before, which is crazy to me.
Right.
Like, there's a controversy today about like the federal government like pressuring Facebook to monitor to moderate content in 2020, and Trump's complaining about it as our congressional Republicans. It's like, who was president in 2020, right, motherfuckers? Like, it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he was saying it's like, this proved, because Facebook refused to moderate content in 2020, Trump was like, this proves that the election was, messed with in 2020. It's like, you were the president leading mm-hmm. up to that election. You were the one in charge. And he's always kind of been this way with COVID, where it's like, mm-hmm. he can't take credit for it because his people all hate vaccines or whatever, but also he's the reason that things weren't really bad and didn't get bad until Joe Biden took over and they did the best ever and Biden fucked it all up. But mm-hmm. yet vaccines are bad and Fauci's evil, but Fauci was there when Trump was there and all the whole, like, trying to walk that tightrope with COVID is, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because it, like, it doesn't really matter what he says, but
you know. Shanahan, she's on Adam Carolla's show or whatever right there. And she goes on to talk about how, like, she complains about the lockdowns and stuff, which the first round of COVID lockdowns happened when Donald Trump was president and he was in favor of them. He started when people were mad about them, he started agitating for like lifting a lot of the COVID restrictions. But like the federal government shut down air travel. It was like the idea was a passive observer to all this is just fucking funny to me. So yeah, RFK Jr. dropped out and endorsed Donald Trump late last week, which everybody of course knows by now. And just one of the silliest, most fucking stupid things to ever happen. Cause like to the degree that RFK's life has had anything good accomplished in it, he raised the profile of it by being a well-known environmentalist, and now he just endorsed a guy whose energy plan is three words: drill, baby, drill. All right. He also announced that RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard are honorary members of his transition team. The rumors are that one of the reasons RFK Jr. endorsed him is because he promised him that he could be in charge of the CDC or the Department of Health and Human Services. Dude,
wait, hold on. Wait, I had heard that RFK Jr. reached out to both campaigns beforehand about like, hey, what kind of job can you give me? Which is funny to me to just announce that you're up for sale like that. But like, what kind of job can you give me in exchange for an endorsement? And that Kamala didn't return his calls at all, which is like, why? I mean, for what? Like there's no Department of Lunatic bullshit, you know? But you're saying with Trump, though, it's not just some nebulous position, it's the CDC or one of those things. Because like,
I don't that's just firm way reporting about more, it.
Yet. I mean, it's ridiculous. Whatever he gets, but if it's something that egregious, that's like truly hilarious in a frightening way.
It's put him in charge of the Food and Drug Administration. You know, a guy who believes that antidepressants have driven the surge in mass shootings, that poppers cause AIDS, that herbicides cause children to be gay or transgender. That he thinks Wi-Fi causes, quote, leaky brain, whatever the fuck that is. He went on Joe Rogan's show and convinced Joe Rogan that Wi-Fi causes brain damage, which I'm wondering, does Rogan know? They have Wi-Fi in Rogan's studio.
Of course
they do. I don't understand. He thinks cell signals cause cancer and, quote, break our DNA. He also thinks that 5G signals in particular are an instrument and a plot to, quote, harvest our data and control our behavior, which, yes, but not, like, through telepathy, but, like... Right. Knowing your behavior and movements and your data to like sell you stuff via advertisements.
Your Google searches and things of that nature. Yeah. Right. Reading your mind.
It's what you walk up. You can walk right up to saying something that sort of makes sense. And I kind of agree with, and then be like, but it could, but also 5G controls your brain waves. Mm-hmm. But also like this is today or yesterday on X, he commented on some random person who posted about chemtrails and said, we will get to the bottom of this crime. Like, we're still on chemtrails in 2024. Put RFK Jr. in charge of stopping chemtrails. We just have to ground all the planes because it's just fucking air moisture. This guy is one of the most pathetic small people in American public life, and I'm glad this. Hopefully, this is the first of many people silly people we can tell to fuck off and just go live their lives somewhere. He was complaining that Kamala wouldn't meet with him. That was one of his justifications for giving his endorsement to Trump, and I'm like, what? What's best for the country factor at all in any of this, or is it just about you feeling insulted?
That's what I'm saying. It's just so like baldly self-serving. I just feel like it's a wild thing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this is common and happens all the time, but it just feels wild to me to just publicly state like, yeah, I went to both of them and he promised me something. So then I endorsed him. And I know he didn't literally, you know, put it that way, but there's no other way to take way he framed it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a wild thing to just publicly admit to me. Like, he promised me something, so I endorsed him. She wouldn't, so fuck her. And it's like...
Part of that's politics operating normally. Like, it's fairly typical in a primary, someone would drop out for being promised a job as a cabinet secretary, right?
Right.
So what's weird about it is to do it between two parties that are like...
Yeah, at this disparate. Point, yeah, antithetical like, to each other.
The stuff they have in common bugs the shit out of me, but they're pretty disparate on a lot of stuff. So, right. like, it's just like, so, like, He also said in his press conference announcing that he was dropping out, which he's not, he kind of didn't drop out, which we'll get to in a second. But like, he basically said in a fair world, I'd be the Democratic nominee, like that he was unfairly maligned by the media and the party because he did run as a Democrat.
Just because of all his mutilated animal corpse scandals, right, all of a sudden that means he's not fit to be president, which like he never had any shot at it anyway. But yeah, but I have no doubt that he fully believes that in his head that, quote, in a fair world, I would be the Democratic nominee. Because he's from a family of American royalty, and you know that he believes he's entitled to the Democrat. If he decides he wants it, he's supposed to get it. God damn it. That's how things are supposed to work.
That includes if you're his babysitter and he wants to have sex with you, apparently. So to be clear, like, politics ain't, it ain't for fucking soft babies, right? It's a tough game, right? And the two parties do play dirty when it comes to like maintaining their duopoly, all right? The Democratic Party did, for some reason I don't understand, file a bunch of lawsuits trying to keep him off ballots when they should have been suing him to keep him on ballots considering how things were going. So I don't understand what they're doing there. But like, he had he also ran a tremendously incompetent campaign. Like, he was doing shit that was like flatly not just illegal but unconstitutional. For example, he lives in California and he picked a vice president that lives in California, and which constitutionally would make him ineligible to receive California's 35 electoral votes. To have two people from the same state on the ticket. So, like, he got around that by pretending that he lived in New York. Mm-hmm. And to do so, his address, he claims in New York, was he's renting a room in his friend's house for $500 a month in New York City. If you're going to have a lie, can you make it plausible and make it $3,000 a month for a room to rent in New York City? Because $500 a month ain't, like, that's not a plausible cover story. Like, you've got to be smarter than that.
No, but you know, maybe he's trying to be like, yeah, I'm a man of the people or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought his whole, the evidence he presented for proving he lived in New York was the fact that he dumped a dead bear in Central Park 10 years ago. Like, see, remember that? That was me. I've been there the whole time. That was me.
It's a fairly rule, like technically Dick Cheney and George W. Bush have both lived in Texas when they ran, but like it's fairly easy to establish residency in America. You just like buy a house and change your voter registration. But he didn't even go through that fucking that amount of effort. It's just a lazy, incompetent shill sort of thing because he wasn't trying to get elected president. He was running to like try to make Democrats lose, and it didn't work. So like whatever he's doing now, he's always going to drop out. Do you see like the prediction markets? You could bet. You could buy dollar bets and predict it that he was going to drop out for 9 cents up until like 2 weeks ago. They were selling dollars for 9 cents. I was like, this is so ridiculous. All right. Another way he screwed up was if they had a bunch of ballot, like they didn't have enough signatures to get on ballots, and they had some fraud associated with them. So he wasn't going to be on the ballot in some states because they just couldn't, they had no organization. Like the point is he wasn't actually trying to win to be mad the world's unfair to him that he's not the Democratic nominee when he's a fucking moron who can't do shit properly is like weird. Mm-hmm. Like you at least got to do your homework before you complain. Right. He also he's still going to be on a lot of ballots. Like just yesterday or today, the Wisconsin's election commission voted 5-1 that he must stay on the ballot. He can't remove himself from majority of the 7 battleground states where he says it hurt Trump's chances. He's going to be on the ballot in Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. The motherfucker can't even fuck up not quitting.
Right.
He quit too late.
Right. Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's what has really happened here, right? You were saying, he was never really planning to win. It was like he was meant to play spoiler to a certain candidate, i.e. Joe Biden, later Kamala Harris. When it became clear that it wasn't actually going that, when it became crystal clear that that was actually working in reverse, then they were like, well, you have to drop out then. And so that's why he has now since dropped out. But again, they still fucked that up. He did it too late. So he's still on the ballot in some of these states and could have some minuscule impact.
And a lot of his voters, their goal was to get to 5% nationally because that unlocks a lot of stuff that you won't have to get best signatures to get on ballots in the next election. You want to get public financing and stuff. So like a lot of people were supporting him just to have a third party.
That's what always the argument is for like third party candidates. Like, oh, they got to get 5% and then things will start to change. And it's like always. From a macro scale, I appreciate that argument because having just two parties don't hit for me. You know what I mean? So it feels like in most of my adulthood, or at least for the past 8 years or whatever, it's been like, okay, but now ain't the time to do that, though. We can't be, you know what I mean? Like, but I mean, it would be nice. I mean, not for the party he represents, but to have other options, I could get down with that. But
also, Bernie and Trump both showed the playbook for how you do it. You don't run as a third party. You run an insurgent campaign within a party. Because a lot of stuff comes with being a political party. The Republicans did not want Trump to win in the primary in 2016. The Democrats did not want Bernie to win in 2016, and they successfully boxed him out. They also didn't want Biden to win in 2020, but he fucking beat the establishment. Like, it's like, so like the Biden thing was a whole different, like, that wasn't because of his politics, it's just because of his because of who Joe Biden is, because they wanted, the party wanted somebody different. But so like, it's just a brain dead way to do something. If you want to establish a third party in America, I get it. You start from the ground up. Win some fucking city council elections and start from there. Don't start with the presidency. It's dumb. So, but it just from a serious, like, coming from the Kennedys, a family that was very good at grabbing and exercising the levers of power. Like, how bad this dumb motherfucker is as it. Forget his politics for a second. Like, just that part's embarrassing. Like, Joe Kennedy and RFK and JFK must be rolling over in their fucking graves in shame.
Yeah, it's, but like, that's how that goes, though, right? With, like, with a lot of I mean, I guess not all of them. Some of them have been around for a long, long time. But it's, you know, it's like someone makes the fortune, someone else kind of, like, coast on it, and then the grandson ruins it. Like, there's some saying that's like a... do you know what I'm talking about? Where they
short sleeves, long sleeves, short sleeves, no sleeves, kind of that
right? Thing. Yeah. So like, yeah, but yeah, they, yeah, you know, because of the circumstances, the context in which he grew up, he don't have the capacity to live up to, you know, whatever their family name, because he's never had to really hit at anything. He's just traveled the world. Fucking murdering animals and shit, and
right. He only became an environmentalist, an environmental lawyer, to rebuild his brand because he was a heroin addict. You had to go through recovery. Right. Like, he's like just a completely silly, frivolous person. And like the idea that Joe Kennedy, who started off as a bootlegger, built a business empire that did business with the Nazis, and fucking got his son elected as the first Catholic president of the United States, has to have this failed son fuck up on his grandson on his resume is like insane to me. So like the complaint that in a fair world he'd be the president, the next president of the United States, is like insane to me, because the only reason anyone took him seriously but was because of his fucking name. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He's like, he's just as big of a loser. Like, Kamala's not meeting with me and you either, right? I'm too busy to meet with R. Cave Jr. and I got nothing going on. So like, what the fuck? It's like, America's love for the Kennedys, I hope this is like the final nail in the coffin of it, because they're just like a ridiculously, like, there's this whole thing where the Kennedy curse, like, they think they're all their deaths come out of nowhere. And sure, like, RFK and JFK getting shot was cursed shit, all right? Or conspiracy, depending where you come down on that. But like, the plane crashes and stuff, like, they're a really reckless, weird, drug-addicted, alcoholic family who has an insane sense of entitlement. One of the Kennedys died skiing into a tree while playing a game of ski football, which is a family tradition. They ski down the mountain really fast while playing football. I'm like, did you? It's not a curse if you die doing that.
Right.
That's expected.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're right. I don't know what you think. Maybe, you know... ski where there's not any trees at, if you don't want to run into a goddamn tree.
Right.
But it's like, and, no, these trees should respect, should respect who my dad is. Like, don't you know who I am to a tree that you've just smashed into?
And the sheer amount of like sex crimes and weird deaths in the family's wake. God. Like, it's like, did this argument that like Ted was the best Kennedy and he probably watched a woman drown and didn't tell anybody about it.
Right.
So like, just fucking please. The Schlossberg, the Kennedys who just like post on TikTok and enjoy their wealth, have at it. Leave the rest of us out of your weird shit. All right.
Yeah. So
bye, RFK.
But hold on. But even though he left, the scandals have not stopped, right? A new one happened with.
Oh, I forgot to mention up top that we're going to be talking about Ben Affleck for a second here, because Ben Affleck somehow affected American presidential race, but through no choice of his own. So J-Lo is divorcing him, and he started kind of maybe dating a woman by the name of Kit Kennedy, who is RFK's daughter from his first wife, three wives ago. All right. So people started Googling what Kit Kennedy about and found an interview with her from 2012 in Town & Country magazine, where she tells a story. God, let me read this to you. Around 1994, Kennedy caught wind that a dead whale had washed up on a beach in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, and rushed it out to the scene with a chainsaw and six-year-old Kick in tow.
Like you do.
Yeah. He cut the whale's head off, secured it to the roof of his minivan with bungee cords, and made the five-hour drive back to the family's home in New York. Quote, I'm quoting Kick here. Kick, by the way, that's her legal name, but she was named after a matriarch of the family's nickname. Okay, so her name's not the weird part here. Every time we accelerated on the highway, whale juice would pour into the windows of the car, and it was the rankest thing on the planet. We all had plastic bags over our heads with mouth holes cut out, and people on the highway were giving us the finger, but that was just normal day-to-day stuff for us.
That is such a telling quote. Do you know what I mean? They're fucking this family of rich people driving down the road wearing, like, masks from a 2000s horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, just eye holes and shit cut out, looking like something from The Strangers or whatever, with whale juice spraying the six-year-olds in the back because there's decapitated whale's head on the top of the fucking car. It's like, how much more insane could this motherfucker get? It's so funny that the brain worm thing, I don't know if it's funny. It's almost like he's almost lucky that the brain worm came out early in the process of all these things. Do you know what I mean? Because people can now be like, well, I mean, a worm did eat part of his brain, you know, so it's like a built-in excuse. So it's like having yourself admit that worms ate part of your brain is like, turns out to be a good thing for you from a PR perspective is really indicative of this guy's whole deal.
this made me realize that, like, because he's a very common type of rich dude throughout history, but it made me realize he was born in the wrong century. Because, like, 200 years ago, he'd be a perfectly normal rich weirdo. He'd have, like, a cabinet of curios with stuff like different kinds of fetuses from all over the globe.
Shrunken heads. Yeah.
Skeletons from, like, here's an elephant skeleton. And people in London would be like, oh, I've never seen that. Like, he'd have, he'd go travel around the world buying, like, have, like, a dead people zoo full of, like, stuffed corpses. Like, oh, that's what a pygmy looks like. And you wouldn't have, like, it's like fucking just right. This type of guy's always been with us. They just should not be in political power.
No, dude, you're so right. That's so true. Because it's like, you know, it's like, and I said a version of this in the video I made about it today, but it's like, what? Like a whale skull doesn't make a kick-ass centerpiece for a shamanistic blood ritual? You know what I mean? You really gonna act like that's not metal as fuck? Like, that's not cool? I'm the crazy one, you know? And, like, I mean, I hear you. But, yeah, you shouldn't be in charge of shit, though.
Now, we're going to talk about a different kind of weirdo that shouldn't be in charge of shit, and that's the board of Boeing and Elon Musk. So let's talk about space. Let's start from the best place to learn about the recent happenings with this fucking weird situation, TMZ. You got this video, Matt.
Welcome back to TMZ Live. Harvey and Babcock here. This story about these two astronauts who are stuck in space. It feels like Lost in Space almost, the TV show. But we're talking about Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, who thought they were going up last June on the Starliner, which is a Boeing spacecraft, for 8 days. It now looks like it's going to be 8 months. And there is a whole thing going on. They actually had a suitcase that they had packed with clothes and everything. But NASA said, look, it's only going to be 8 days. So they didn't bring the suitcase, and they didn't really even have any clothes.
NASA told them not. NASA is fully turned into fucking Spirit Airlines. They lost their luggage. Basically.
Yeah. Wouldn't let them check a bag.
Oh my god! Just everything about this. So, like, they were going to try to maybe come home over the weekend, but then they had to make a decision over the weekend, and NASA decided to bring the Boeing Starliner back empty. Because they essentially were the first crewed test flight of the Boeing Starliner and had propulsion problems, which is why they've been stuck up there since June. Now, they're not alone, and they're not in danger of starving to death. But as Harvey Levin made it clear, they do not have a change of underwear, which feels like an important thing, you know, relative to the quality of life. So, like Harvey said, they've been up there since the beginning of June, with no idea how or when they're going to be able to come back to Earth. And this has turned to me from a horror movie premise into something that's like starring Danny McBride.
Okay, but Mark, real quick, just so we're all established here. Mm-hmm. They took a Boeing ride up to the space station, right? Mm-hmm. but it has fucked up or got damaged, and they were worried that it was not safe for them to return on said ride. So now they're stranded up there, and that's what happened. And the again, the ride, the vehicle itself we're talking about was manufactured by Boeing, who has otherwise been crushing it lately. I can't think of any other negative headlines coming out of Boeing in, over the past year. But yeah, what the fuck are they doing?
So now they're going to have to wait for a ride home from SpaceX.
Ah, Elon.
Which always blows up their rockets in February, if Elon could pull that off. So only, you know, 240 days away from their family when it's supposed to be eight. All right. So people are making some pretty funny jokes about this. Like, we got, like, we, if we all got some pretty sweet monkey costumes to greet them when they got back, we could have a really great time.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good idea. So, we should totally like psychologically torture these marooned astronauts and they get back. It would be funny though. We should do it for the lulls, you know, get a lot of likes out of it. But no, it is a good idea.
But like, psychologically torture them even more, because I just need to point out here, because like, the idea that they're probably not going to die is like obviously good, but it's not like, again, necessary but not sufficient here, because they did not sign up for an 8-month trip.
Yes.
They sign up for an 8-day trip.
Yeah, anyone that's like, oh, hell, they're fine up there. It's like, bro, it's not. I would imagine, literally imagine being stuck in like a kind of okay Hilton, like an airport Hilton for 8 months or whatever. That would drive you insane. Now imagine it's a fucking tube orbiting the world and there's no one else around. Ain't no room service. Ain't nothing. Like, I mean, it ain't fun.
What's the most stranded you've ever been? Because I was trying to think about it earlier.
Stranded. I don't know. What do you have an answer? Let me keep thinking about
it. I got three. Like, one time at Christmas, my wife and I were stuck in an airport for almost 72 hours because there was a fire at the airport in Atlanta. So we were stuck at LAX, then Boston, then New York. Okay. And the other two options were drunk with a dead cell phone in a part of New York I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
And the third option was me and my dad, our headlamps ran out of batteries while we were coon hunting and there was no moonlight and we had to sleep in the woods in the freezing cold till the sun came up. But all those had an end. I knew all those had an end point coming.
Right.
Eventually, eventually air travel was going to be figured out, or the other two were both solved by the sun coming up.
This is not a good answer because it ended up fine, but we got caught in a blizzard an hour away from downtown Los Angeles in a place called Mount Baldy. You ever been up to Mount Baldy? You know where Mount Baldy is? Less than an hour from downtown LA, but the elevation goes up like crazy. We got caught in a literal blizzard. I'm from the South. More snow than I've ever seen in my life. It was insane. And we got stuck up there, and it took us like 14 hours to get out. But, you know, 10, 11 hours into that, our fuel light came on, whatever, and we're sitting in this big line of cars. And so I thought, like, I very genuinely thought me and Katie and our, like, 5- and 6-year-old sons, who we had no food for, were going to be stuck in a fuelless Jeep in a blizzard an hour away from downtown Los Angeles. But we didn't. We made it out. But that was the most, like, that's the most worried I've ever been about being stranded somewhere, I think.
I think your story beats mine because you had kids' lives at stake, and mine was just mine, and all I had to do was not freeze to death during a Virginia January and over the night. So, like, but okay, so they don't know when they're going to be able to come home. They haven't known for a long time. They're stuck up there in outer space, and it's not just a bad day at work. They're losing, if you know about space travel, they're losing muscle mass and bone density and shitting in a bag. Yeah. Right.
But they got Tang, so that's fun.
they got Dippin' Dots, probably, maybe. I don't know. And the fact is, American, where, like, when I was a kid, the space program was a national point of pride. The fact that NASA has no vehicles of its own that can gas up to go get them is a fucking humiliation.
Absolutely a disgrace, bro. It is. That's my main thing with this, is like, it's just a sad state of affairs with NASA. I feel like maybe a lot of Republicans might be like, yeah, that's why NASA's a fucking, we shouldn't be giving them no money. It's a waste of fucking money. Look what they're doing. But I feel the opposite. It's like, this is why we should have been funding NASA more robustly over all these years and let them maintain the kind of status that they had during the space race so that shit like this doesn't happen and we don't have to come to fucking Elon Musk hat in hand to fix a scenario like this. It's a goddamn travesty. That's what
it is. It's not like NASA hasn't had fuck-ups in the past. They've killed astronauts and made mistakes and stuff. But the point of it is when that's the bad stuff that happened, they owned. But also the good stuff the public owned.
Right, yeah.
Everyone was proud we put the flag up on the moon, if you believe it happened. Hello. So like when we have GPS, we have fucking, you know, like we have a lot of stuff. Like the internet exists because of NASA and the DOD, right? Which, you know, maybe we delete the internet, but we tried something new and maybe and parts of it hit. So like so instead of giving the money to NASA to fuck up, we give the money to Boeing to fuck up.
Right.
So if things go well, they keep it all. If things go poorly, it's still the astronauts that are fucked.
Yes. Right.
And we're all well aware of the shit going on with Boeing by this point. But I want to read some headlines. These are all from just the last 5 days. All right. I'm gonna go through them pretty fast. Alaska Airlines flight forced to return to SeaTac after Boeing 737's engine shuts down. Another story, Boeing's main 737 door plug mechanic was on vacation during final assembly of Alaska Airlines blowout aircraft. Why the Air Force is paying Boeing $2.6 billion for just two airplanes. Ex-Boeing staff claims electrical faults, quote, concealed. A judge who overturned a $72 million verdict against Boeing disclosed he bought and sold Boeing stock while hearing the case, but says his wife's IRA was to blame. Boeing workers are on the verge of striking. This is from today. Delta workers killed after Boeing plane's tire unexpectedly explodes. All right, now I want to talk about the Challenger for a second here, because like my wife and I were talking about it recently, because she has an employee who's like in her late 20s, and somehow 9/11 came up, and she was like, "Do you remember 9/11?" And this woman had a vague recollection of 9/11, but no understanding of what life was like before 9/11.
Right.
Not just you could walk to the gate of the airport to greet people, but the vibes, society-wide, the vibes were different.
Absolutely. Paradigm shift, for sure. Right.
So, like I can describe to people what happened when the Challenger exploded. I cannot make you understand that the whole country cried that day because a few astronauts died live on television. Because they were national fucking heroes. And so, like, when you describe it, so like as a news story, some astronauts died, it probably sounds like this has the same weight to you as those Delta workers dying in an accident, or you read about a car crash in the news or something. But did not feel that way.
No, and part of it was, I think maybe we've talked about this part of it on here before, but a big part of why that happened was they had this big campaign in the run-up to it about putting a teacher in space. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a teacher in space. That she was
my mom applied,
on the Challenger mission. Mm-hmm. So all school kids nationwide were watching this. Like, it was this big concerted effort. Let's all watch this teacher go into space. How inspirational that is. So every school kid in America was watching that shit. And then, you know, then it exploded and it went the way it did. And yes, that fucks people up. But did you also know, Mark, I can't remember if we talked about this before, did you know they came very, very close to even going a step further than that? Did you know who was almost on board Challenger when it blew up? Big Bird.
Oh my God.
Big Bird. I swear to God, because as part of this campaign, they have putting a teacher on thing, whatever, they very nearly put the Big Bird puppet on Challenger because of all these kids watching and shit. And then, but it didn't work out. But like, all of America's children very nearly saw Big Bird explode in a fiery death ball in the middle of fucking homeroom or whatever that day. But yeah,
what would Children's Workshop Television Workshop have done? Because you can't just bring Big Bird back to life, but they would have had to replace it. Yeah,
they'd have to have a funeral for Big Bird. I don't know. Fucking, it would have been. Yeah, that came this close to happening. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
So like if you guys are too young, like astronauts, we talked about the show, but I'll try to keep this quick because I know we brought it up before. But astronauts were fucking heroes. They had trading cards.
They still are to me, Mark. But go ahead.
People had posters of them, and we decided to privatize that to where the only astronauts we can name right now are Butch and Sonny, who were stuck on the fucking. And we all can only name them because they got stuck on a fucking. And like, it reminds me of like how far we've drifted as a society. This is like when Trump administration killed the Iranian general Soleimani, they owned us pretty well. They were talking about potential retaliation targets, and Soleimani was a big military hero in Iran. And they're like, there is no retaliation. They don't have any heroes to kill. All they have is celebrities and cartoon characters.
I was about to say, it's like, I don't even want to say what I'm about to say, but yes, like kids back, like at the time of Challenger, kids idolized astronauts and shit. And now it's like Aiden Ross and Jake Paul or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they don't know who any fucking astronauts are. And it's
to me, it'd be worth good. It'd be worth the price of NASA's whole budget to have a killed kids heroes be astronauts again instead of fucking Jake Paul.
Yes.
Right? 100%. Andrew Tate, you know. Anyway, sad though. But like going back to Boeing for a second, like everything I just said is a failure of people are going to write whole books about how Boeing is a failure of like late stage capitalism, outsourcing, corruption, regulatory capture, et cetera, just about this one fucking company. And you could write it just about the space program, forgetting the fucking passenger air travel shit. It's insane to me they're still allowed to exist and we're not renationalizing some of this stuff or nobody's even proposing it.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say that. I almost like jokingly said, like, when are we going to take these motherfuckers over? But like with the amount of power and market mm-hmm. cap and everything that they have and the number of lives that are at stake, like, at what point do we actually take them over? Because it's starting to feel like that should happen. You know what I mean? Like, they clearly do not have their shit together. And again, people can die. People have died. Mm-hmm. People can continue to die. Like, it's wild.
Oh, even without like the Elon's crafts are mostly unmanned, so when they blow up, they haven't killed people yet. But they're going to blow up and kill people, and that's not counting like the quality of life and the like the poisoning and pollution deaths they're doing at the facility, and or the long term deaths from a cancer and shit they're going to be as a result of like SpaceX activity in Texas. Like, so like this is like my question is like, because Boeing is an American company that obviously cannot build a spacecraft. We're relying on Elon, who's an immigrant from South Africa, to build our spacecraft for us, I guess, consuming he can get one to fly to this International Space Station and bring him home. Were Americans ever able to build spacecraft, or was it only the Nazis we kidnapped from Germany?
Yeah. Werner von Braun, yeah.
Yeah.
Operation Paperclip, man. I guess that's the only way we ever pulled it off to begin with.
Do we need Operation Paperclip 2, I guess, except those white supremacists that we kidnapped, and I'm not mean to like... They might have just been passionate about physics,
right.
And the Nazi regime was the only one around to work for.
Right.
Because Wernher von Braun famously resisted the militarization of NASA. Mm-hmm. So good on him for that. Maybe he had some regrets about the course of his life, building rockets that blew up London to kill civilians in London or whatever. But like they were employees of the American government. Elon Musk... basically behaves as if he's the boss of the American
exactly.
government.
Exactly, yes. That right there is the main difference in what's fucked the whole thing up, in my opinion, is what you just said. Mm-hmm. Those like mm-hmm. Wernher von Braun was an employee of NASA, of the American government, and therefore of the American people by extension. Mm-hmm. But now, like I said earlier, the American government is coming to Elon Musk hat in hand, being like, can you please help us here? Will you please bail us out, sir? If you don't mind, sir, could you please help us? And that's the position he's in. And it's like, this ain't it. Like late stage capitalism is privatization. All that's like, they always used private contract. I used to be a contracting officer for the federal government. I know that we do that and have always done that, but mm-hmm. the dynamic was not the same as it is now. And you just summed mm-hmm. it up by putting it that way. That's the difference. Wernher von Braun worked for the government. The government works for Elon Musk today. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with everything.
Weston, pretty pleased to go get two people stuck on the space station. He's like, maybe I'll get around to it in 7 months.
Yeah. Got a lot of shit posting to do. I got this election I'm trying to swing. You know, uh-huh. I'm interviewing famous fascists on the internet. I got a lot going on right now. We'll see how it goes.
And not for nothing, I want to talk about who Butch and Sonny are. Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams are for a second here. Sonny's name, by the way, is spelled S-U-N-I because her mom's of Indian descent. But like I've seen it pronounced Sonny a lot, so I'm going with Sonny. All right. Butch grew up in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is about an hour and a half from where I looked it up. Hour and a half from Salina, where you're from. He played football for his high school team and later for Tennessee Tech.
Whoop, go Golden Eagles, baby, class of 2009. That's what I'm talking about. See, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know we went to the same alma mater. What's funny is I almost brought up earlier, but then thought better of it, mm-hmm. that when I was at college at Tennessee Tech in the 2000s, they're like not claimed to somebody they were very proud of at the time was the CEO of Boeing at that time was a TCU graduate that he's not now and he hasn't been for a long. That's what I'm saying. You never saw this shit happening on his watch. He was probably a monster. But anyway, so
he was at least an engineer though, right? They were the problem is they placed all their engineers with MBA dudes.
Yes. No, he was an engineer. Right. Yeah, TTU's an engineering school. I'm not an engineer, but yes. So, right, we got a couple connections to this story. Look at TT. But yeah, anyway, I didn't even know we had an astronaut. I'm proud. I'm excited. Cookeville, Tennessee, yeah. Baby, TTU. That's what's up. Bring Butch home. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So after Tennessee Tech, he joined the Navy, became a test pilot, 8,000 hours of flying time, 663 aircraft carrier landings. The fact that he's 61 and she's 58, I believe, is a part of this. We're talking about pre-show that like it feels like that's too old to be an astronaut. But I don't think because people don't try to be astronauts anymore, it's not clear that anyone's coming for their jobs. They're probably all the people that would be in the past would be competing them for these slots probably work for Boeing, SpaceX, Blue Origin, all the private space programs, which depresses me. He flew combat missions during the first Gulf War and then was a flight test instructor. This is his third trip to space, as is Sonny's. He was flew to the ISS in 2009 as a pilot. 5 years later, he was in the orbiting lab for 6 months on a Russian Soyuz. He flew out of Kazakhstan. Personally, he's married with two daughters. He probably misses. Should we bring him home? But he's been doing Zoom church with his church in Houston, so that's good for him. Sonny's 58, like I said. She was the first woman to serve as a test pilot for a new spacecraft. She's from Massachusetts originally. Born to an Indian-born brain researcher and a Slovenian-American healthcare worker. She thought she'd be a veterinarian, but then she ended up at the Naval Academy and became a helicopter pilot and served overseas in the buildup of the Gulf War. This is her third trip to space. Her first one, Jesus Christ, she flew aboard the shuttle Discovery, but she also had to stay longer than expected on that mission, 6.5 months, because Atlantis suffered hail damage to the Florida pad. That, like, she's been stuck in space twice, dog.
Yeah, that's wild.
Like, during that trip, she was supposed to do the Boston Marathon. She ended up doing it from space on a treadmill. We got this picture of her, which this is what doing a marathon in space looks like. She's not having a good time, dude.
I don't know. She's rad, though. She's cool. Look at her.
She is rad.
A good time, bro. She's probably lit. Well, I'm not saying she's living the dream. She shouldn't be stuck up there, but I'm saying these people are built different, bro. She's
right.
Run a marathon in space. That's pretty hardcore. And some smart ass is probably like, ah, hell, it's easier in space. You weigh less, but you go up there and do anything in space, motherfucker.
Right.
Come talk to me.
So that team, to circle back, that TMZ clip we showed earlier led to an interview with her mom, who said she's fine up there. But to me, like, I'm sure she likes being in space, even though she's away from her family. But the idea, like, it would make me uncomfortable just generally wondering if and when they were going to be able to bring me home. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have any guarantee of a safe return, considering that every attempt they've done to bring him home is fucked up.
Right.
So, like, also, like, her mom's name is Bonnie Pena. She was on TMZ to promote her children's book called Little Tale, Big Tales, The Adventures of an Astronaut's Dog, the story of which revolves around the dog getting in pickles, going on adventures, while her owner, Sonny, is on the ISS, stuck for 6 months. So did Bonnie manifest this?
That's the secret, baby. You know what I mean? That's the secret. Just proof it works. Yeah, you got to manifest. Yeah, that's why. Well, okay. Well, to be fair to Bonnie, you did just say that her daughter literally has been here before. So, like, maybe Bonnie was just writing about what happened to her poor baby's dogs the last time she was marooned in space, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, so maybe the dog's name is Gorby. I don't know why the dog's named Gorby after Gorbachev, maybe. But, like, so if at minimum she misses her dog, and it's her second time being stuck in space, and it sucks that her country that she's served for these many decades cannot fucking bring her home. Mm-hmm. So now the plan, like I said before, is to catch a ride home on SpaceX. And another degree to which this fucking Boeing Starliner thing is a disaster is they basically handed all the full faith and credit of America's private space program, the contracting with NASA, to SpaceX. So, like, again, this is the first crewed flight that they tried with the Starliner. And so every business analyst is like, yeah, well, this means Boeing's going to have to go out of the space business, which means SpaceX is going to be the only credible alternative for NASA to use to try to get stuff to and from space, because they can't go to space.
This is why I fucking hate Elon Musk so much lately, is because he colors the way people interpret this whole thing, including me. And what I mean is, like, none of what you just said hits for me. It wouldn't hit for me anyway because of privatization and capitalism and all that. But like knowing it's like, oh yeah, we got to come to Elon for help. Oh yeah, Elon's going to be the only game in town, and that all sucked. I hate that he is the way he is, because it makes me dislike those aspects of it when I know that there are like brilliant, great people who work for SpaceX, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them, like a lot of brilliant engineers and aeronautical physicists. And that's probably not even a real thing, but you know what I mean? Who like work for that company and are doing and because they grew up loving space and the moon and NASA and all that. And that's mm-hmm. one of the places you go to do that. And they're like fucking leaders in the field. They're on the bleeding edge and they're great. Mm-hmm. But all that most people think about when you bring them up now is fucking Elon and his shitlord memes and everything he does. And mm-hmm. that just sucks. I just think that sucks is all I'm saying.
And all those people you talk about who are brilliant about space shit should be working for NASA, except NASA doesn't have the money to hire them because they gave all their money to fucking SpaceX.
Yes, 100%. 100%. That's exactly the case.
Yeah. And Elon, as a defense contractor, remains a problem. By the way, we did a whole episode about it, so I don't want to rehash old shit. But as far as new stuff going on, I Googled what's going on with Starlink in Ukraine, and American media is not covering it. But I did find some foreign sources, including one website called BulgarianMilitary.com. So, but the videos were of Ukrainians doing shit. I found some other sources. But again, it's just not in the American media, but this report was in other countries' like stuff. I just thought BulgarianMilitary.com was the funniest source for it. Bulgarian is a limited democracy, and they do hate Russia. So if that gives you helps you weigh their credibility, they're a member of NATO. So analysts suggested Ukraine's latest Palantir kamikaze drone could significantly impact Russia, particularly if Elon Musk permits the use of Starlink for offensive operations or attacks in Russian territory, because he's not doing that. Mm-hmm. As the lone actor, is deciding to limit Ukraine's military capabilities.
Right.
And we're still paying him to do that, not just through SpaceX, but through Starlink, which is a subsidiary of SpaceX. So he shouldn't be a defense contractor, and we should be nationalizing his company or forcing a sell-off. If you don't want to privatize it, force him to sell it to Bezos or somebody, because he's a fucking menace. All right? He's not trustworthy. He doesn't not have America's best interests at heart. I'm not saying that just because he's an immigrant here. There are a lot of very loyal people who moved here from overseas because they love America. He just fucking hates the idea of America as a liberal, multicultural democracy.
As Kanye said, another brilliant man, no one man should have all that power, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's like, that's un-American. It's anti-capitalist, mm-hmm. whatever. Just take somebody's company away from him that he built. Like, fuck that. First of all, whatever. You can pay him. You can give him enough money to have as many yachts as he ever wants to have. He already has that much money anyway. He'll be fine. He's never going to struggle. He's always going to be completely fine. And it's just some of this shit should not be in the hands of one person. Like you said, mm-hmm. like Ukraine's military, a whole other country that's being invaded by mm-hmm. one of our biggest enemies, their military capabilities should not be hamstrung by the whims of one fucking, apartheid era South African billionaire lunatic named mm-hmm. Elon Musk. I don't care about capitalism or how the market presented itself or whatever. That just should not happen. He's got enough money to fuck off somewhere. We should like make him fuck off somewhere. That's what we should do.
If Henry Ford had said, I'm not building jeeps for the U.S. military during World War II, instead I'm going to make them for the German government, which he was affectionate towards, FDR would have fucking killed him and taken his company.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. So
you're hitting for me tonight, Mark.
Yeah, this is not just about capitalism versus managed capitalism or late stage capitalism or whatever, or what kind of economy you want to live in. It's like whether a country has any interest in fucking surviving.
Right.
Because like no other country would let themselves be sabotaged. No, dude, from
China.
Within.
If you can make up, I've literally met a comic once who built up a small like fleet of 100 ice cream trucks in China, but ice cream trucks didn't exist in China before that. And the government of China took all them ice cream trucks and was like, you can get the fuck out. Round eye. We run this shit now. It's like, I'm not saying we should be entirely like China, but I'm saying any other country fucking just wouldn't stand for this shit.
Imagine those ice cream trucks rolling around the streets of Beijing or wherever. We're tanks instead of ice cream trucks, and they're controlled by the U.S. military. China. That's more of an apt metaphor here for what's going on.
Yes.
All right. So it's just like again, if even if you think subcontracting is the better way to do things, it should not be with him. So it should be another contractor, and they should force us, like his the U.S. government should cut off contracts at a minimum until his board forces a hiring of a new CEO. All right. So because Elon's being sued because when he fired a bunch of people from Twitter at slash X or whatever, he didn't pay them proper severance. So the results of that lawsuit, the opposing counsel got a hold of a list of people who actually own Twitter, who the people who supplied the money for Elon to build it with. It's real, like, you know, patchwork of losers and psychos, including Bill Ackman, Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy owns part of Twitter for some reason. Larry Ellis, and also His Royal Highness Prince Alawid bin Talal bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud. If you're not familiar with him, he's a member of the Saudi royal family. Although he was, when MBS took power, he was imprisoned in the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh until he handed over $6 billion to the crown prince. So it's not clear where he got the money to invest in Twitter because he's no longer listed on Forbes billionaire list, but he's must have gotten some money back from somewhere. He's the guy on the right with the big eyebrows. If you're watching the feed, he's mostly known for his eyebrows. But anyway, it's not just like whatever's going on with Ukraine. Twitter being in the pocket of somebody connected to the Saudi royal family who might be a carve-out for MBS, while people, dissidents are being rounded up in Saudi Arabia for posting political tweets on X, seems problematic to me. But whatever, I'm just a person who actually believes in free speech, unlike Elon Musk. Also, there's some Russian oligarchs who own chunks of Twitter, which might be impacting partially Elon's views about what's happening with the war in Ukraine and his views on the Russian government. Two people who own a chunk of it are Denis Avin and Jack Moskowitz, who are the sons of Russian oligarchs Peter Avin and Vadim Moskowitz. If you're not familiar with how Russia operates, you can't be a Russian oligarch and not be... You get to have money in Russia through two ways. Either Putin gives it to you or Putin lets you have it. Mm-hmm. All right. So, like, the idea that these guys are their families operating independently from Russia, from Putin seems weird to me because they're still alive. Because Putin will famously kill you even overseas if he disagrees with what Russian expats are doing with their money. Peter Avin, by the way, unsuccessfully sued media outlets and the Hillary Clinton campaign because he was accused of drug running in the newspaper. And also, he showed up in the Steele dossier and he lost his lawsuit. So, it's not his first time being accused of being a dirtbag. But as far as the technical capacities of SpaceX, SpaceX tried a launch today of the kind of vehicle that would be sent to the space station to get these astronauts back. And it was delayed because they had problems with a helium leak, which is the exact same fucking problem that the Boeing Starliner had. The brilliance of capitalism now has two separate private companies spending government money in competition to see who can have the biggest helium leaks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm helium dumb. Maybe that's a real complicated part of the process for all I know. You know what I mean? If they're both fucking right. That up, maybe it's hard to keep helium where you want it. I mean, big balloon seems to have figured it out, but
yeah, I don't even know what helium does in a space shuttle. Like maybe the astronauts just like to have funny voices and they come back to Earth. Like they've been occupied by an alien being or something.
Yeah, it's a morale booster. That's all it is.
So the part that made me mad about this is being mad about the government no longer being in control of space travel, because I think we all used to be proud of. During this mission, the Polaris Dawn crew will attempt to reach heights higher than humans have traveled since NASA's Apollo program in the 70s. NASA astronauts haven't been this high in the 70s. It's now been 50 years since the 70s, and we just stopped being able to do shit we used to be able to do.
Tell me about it. I've lamented it as long as I've been old enough to understand it. I've lamented it. It's one of the biggest mistakes this country's ever made, as far as I'm concerned. We could be so much further along than we are right now, if not for that. But
and anyway. To add insult to injury to this, there's no plan I can see among anyone or any political agitation to like claw some of this back and bring it back internally. Like NASA just gave SpaceX a contract because the ISS has almost run out of its lifespan. It needs to be brought down to Earth in 2030. They gave SpaceX the contract to destroy the International Space Station, $843 million that we could have spent, I don't know, build a new space station. And the plan is to replace it with nine. Right now, Earth's governments and companies have plans to replace it with nine space stations. I think five or six of them are going to be American-based, but they're all going to be controlled by Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Lockheed Martin, and Northrop Grumman. I don't know why Lockheed Martin wants a space station, but I don't want them to fucking have it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if Elon can successfully get a rocket to bring these astronauts home to the space station, another comical fuck-up of this iteration of capitalism, they probably will not be wearing spacesuits. There are two different kinds of spacesuits. The one you use for spacewalks and the one you use for flight suits, right? The suits they took with them to fly on the Starliner are not compatible with the SpaceX rocket. So, right. Because...
No reason for that.
The way capitalism works, because it doesn't work based upon the best competition anymore. Right. It's based upon locking in your customers into systems they don't want. They can't escape.
Right.
They can't share information. We don't even know why they're incompatible because it's proprietary information. They cannot tell us why a SpaceX suit, a Starliner suit can't hook into a SpaceX rocket because it's proprietary, even though the government's paying the bills for all this shit.
Right. No, so, it's because it all has to be SpaceX certified. That way mm-hmm. you need SpaceX to do everything because mm-hmm. things won't work if they're not all SpaceX compatible or however the fuck it works. But that's, you know, Apple tries to do the same shit, but the EU just recently forced Apple to finally put a regular goddamn charging port on their fucking iPhones over there, right. By the way, mm-hmm. which is exactly what should fucking happen because mm-hmm. they shouldn't be allowed to do that shit in the first place. And the fact mm-hmm. that that's happening in our space program is horseshit.
Right. And it's like, so the reason you wear the flight suits is because it decreases the risk of like death if there's a fire or sudden depressurization, yada yada yada. So like, Matt texted me this joke. I want to give him credit for it. The same forces that make it impossible to open a Windows file on a Mac are going to get these fucking astronauts killed.
Exactly. Yes.
So it's just maddening. Nationalize all the space shit. Start rebuilding American heroes into people that go to the fucking moon. And rock out with the cocks out fucking Led Zeppelin plays songs and we make Michael Bay movies about it instead of abandoning them in fucking space and leaving it to a goddamn private company to get all the credit for it.
Fuck yeah. American flag on Mars, goddammit. Walk Clash of Rock plays. That's what I want. All right. I didn't expect to get as fired up during this episode as I did when I knew what we were going to be talking about. But, I mean, I should have because space is my shit. But, anyway, thank you all for watching. I appreciate it. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Come and see me in San Antonio next weekend, Michigan and Ohio after that. Round Here and Over Yonder is on TreyCrowder.com, too. Check it out. And go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Sign up. Get some more SKUs in your life. $5 a month. Full-length bonus episodes. Get some more SKUs. Why not? Listen, as long as you keep watching on SKUsdies, we'll keep showing up.